Common Sense Radio is on the air. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling, says I need you here.
Feeling good on a Friday, how about you?
It's a half past four and I'm shifting gear.
Big snowstorm coming in, a big drop in temperature. Keep that in mind. You're get ready for the ice. The ice age cometh here this weekend. We'll talk about that. First, I'm going to grab one quick call off the hotline. Sam checking in from Grand Rapids today. Sam, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was going to say that I think President Trump is building, trying to build a wall in the wrong places.
Why do you say that?
Well, since California wants to be a sanctuary state, why doesn't the wall go along the border until it gets to California, and then it goes up the border between California, Arizona, Nevada, and maybe we ought to include Oregon and Washington, since I think they want to be sanctuary states as well, and let them reap the whirlwind of illegal immigration.
Not a bad
people,
plan, Sam.
They're migrants. They've proven they're migrants. They're not going to stay, you know, if the jobs aren't there in California, they're going to move to wherever the jobs are.
Fair
and
point.
They can move freely throughout the U.S.
There you go, Sam. Greatly appreciate it. Got to run. Although those in Northern California want their own state called Jefferson. You might have seen that. They want a 51st state called Jefferson, but those in Sacramento won't let them free because those that are in Northern California don't see eye to eye with those that run the state, as you can imagine. Meanwhile, off the coast of California, if you head west for a while, you'll run into the South China Sea. A place where the Chinese are building islands and air force bases and putting in military installations because, according to my next guest, they're preparing for war. Frank Vernuccio here, editor-in-chief of the New York Analysis of Policy and Government. Frank, welcome back.
It's great to be with you. Good morning.
So you say the Chinese are on a war footing. Do explain.
If you take a look at their military preparations combined with their aggressiveness, you can only come to the conclusion that they are preparing for war. Now, that's not just the estimate of Western analysts. Listen to President Xi himself. As he's consolidated power the way a leader would before a military endeavor, he has told his troops, prepare for war. Not my words, his words. The Chinese have put a lot of money into the military. Of course, with their economy, they can certainly afford to. But the difference is they're about to peak in terms of their strength in the year 2020, which is about the same time that the United States Armed Forces are going to be at their low point, thanks to the lack of investment that we saw during the 8 years of the Obama administration.
But the Trump administration has ramped it up.
President Trump put more dollars into the military, but it'll be quite some time before they show up in terms of effectiveness.
I was going to say, Trump has certainly put in, what was it, $716 billion last year, more this year, so there's a lot of money coming back in. But the Chinese, in the modern era, have never really fought a war, not an effective war. I mean, they fought on the Korean Peninsula. They fought in some other places. They did some proxy wars. But during World War II, they were pummeled by a much smaller nation, Japan. The rape of Nanking and all of those different things that went on. Are the Chinese really prepared to fight a war? They've never actually done it.
President Xi has certainly learned the lessons of history. Up until about 10, 15 years ago, the Chinese had a very large, well, actually about 20 years ago, the Chinese had a very large military, but one that was not particularly capable, didn't have a lot of modern weaponry. But what happened in the years of the 1990s during the Clinton administration? President Bill Clinton allowed the sale of Cray supercomputers to China, which allowed the Chinese to catch up on a lot of military technology. That, of course, combined with their extraordinary effort in terms of espionage, outright theft of Western intellectual property, allowed them to catch up on decades of military technology. Their armed forces, according to the latest reports from both the U.S.-China Trade Committee and the Defense Intelligence Agency, insist that China, in some areas, now has military technology that excels the United States.
And exceeds it. These hypersonic missiles are one of those things that are of concern. But I would find it hard to believe that the Americans, behind closed doors, aren't developing or have developed the exact same technology. Wouldn't you believe?
Well, we are all working towards, you know, having the best weaponry, but there doesn't have to be the same type of weaponry. For example, China has developed the Dongfeng 26 missile. It's a missile that can be fired from shore,
Excuse me.
1,000 miles out to sea. Just one of them can knock out a United States aircraft carrier.
And what's it called?
That changes the equation pretty much in the Pacific.
Sure. What's that thing called again?
Dongfeng 26 missile.
All right. And it it changes the game. Of course, you know, we still have the boomers. We still have, you know, the Ohio-class nuclear submarines. We have technology and abilities that I think that, I think it's safe to say, I'm going to make an assumption, Frank, that our technologies are not fully known to the rest of the world or even to us as citizens.
Certainly hope so. But here's one of the weak points we have. A lot of our technology is based on our dominance in outer space, our orbiting satellites, our GPS satellites, which can allow precision bombing. That's one of the keys that we have. We saw that during the Gulf Wars. The Chinese have developed very effective anti-satellite missiles. That means that that ace card that the United States has, Steve, can quickly be knocked out of action.
All right, fair enough, Frank. So where do we go from here? The president's investing $700+ billion last year, more this year. What else can we do to accelerate the process of being prepared?
Well, for one thing, we can be a lot more careful in terms of our protecting our assets here at home. The cyber technology that the Chinese have used, the espionage the Chinese have used, to them, we're an open book. We have to be a heck of a lot more careful.
All right, fair enough. Frank, always a pleasure. Enjoy the weekend. Frank Vernuccio, Editor-in-Chief of the New York Analysis of Policy and Government. You're always great, Frank, and I always appreciate it.
Steve, I look forward to our next discussion.
There you have it. All right, still to come on the program today. Steve Doolin will be here. If you missed the story earlier this week out of the state of Oregon, Oregon would like to limit the capacity of handguns to just 5 rounds, and you can only buy 20 rounds of any kind of ammunition per month. Per month. Yeah, we're going to talk about that coming forward. And a little bit later in the program, I have a from my personal file, a story about winter that might scar you emotionally, but it's okay. You'll enjoy hearing it. It's Friday. You're on the Steve Gruber Show.